HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The state of Qatar, which along with the U.S. helped reach a deal between Israel and Hamas, has announced a humanitarian pause in Gaza with a start time to be announced within the next 24 hours and last for 4 days, subject to extension. CBS's Natalie Brand.
Israel says the government approved the outline of a plan that would initially free at least 50 hostages, women and children, over 4 days. During that time, Israel says a pause in the fighting will be held. It said the release of every additional 10 hostages will result in one additional day in the pause.
The BBC's Orla Guerin in Tel Aviv adds,
there is no suggestion here that all of the hostages will be involved in this current attempt. We do not expect that men will be released. We certainly don't expect that anybody from the Israeli military will be released. Hamas will be keen to hang on to a significant number of hostages in order to have leverage as this conflict continues.
A small plane crash kills one person in Plano, Texas. The Federal Aviation Administration says the single-engine Mooney M-20 went down north of Air Park Dallas Airport. Only the pilot was aboard. Plano Fire Rescue spokesperson Daniel Daly.
Thankfully, the plane did not actually land on or collide with anything. However, the fire resulting from the crash did involve an unoccupied parked vehicle.
The cause is under investigation. Americans are feeling stressed heading into the holiday season. CBS's Dina Demetrius explains.
A new survey from the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center finds Americans are feeling additional strain this year.
Inflation is an insane stress right now. I mean, everything is way more expensive.
There's a lot of negativity going on all around.
81% cited national issues and world affairs. Three quarters are feeling the strain of rising prices and holiday spending.
If you want to stretch your holiday shopping budget, you may want to check your junk drawer or an old wallet for extra funds you might have forgotten about. That's because a recent Bankrate survey found that almost half of U.S. adults have at least one unused credit card, voucher, or store credit. Bankrate analyst Ted Rossman.
Even if it's not a store that you really like, maybe it would be perfect for your mom's Christmas present or your brother's Christmas present or somebody's birthday or whatever the case may be.
Nationwide, we're holding on to about $23 billion in unused gift cards. North Korea says it put a military spy satellite into orbit on its third try. The launch has invited strong condemnation from the United States and its partners because the UN bans North Korea from conducting satellite launches, calling them covers for tests of military missile technology. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
If you have your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun, it's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The simple act of sharing gratitude is how Thanksgiving is described in the dictionary. But did you know the first official national holiday happened in 1789?
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court heard arguments Tuesday in a lawsuit challenging the state's legislative maps. Lawyer Mark Gaber, arguing for the petitioners, suggests Wisconsin's political boundaries are some of the most out of proportion in the United States.
This shocks people across the country who look at this map. This is like foreign to what redistricting looks like.
The court will decide whether Wisconsin's maps are drawn to the point of being unconstitutional. The opening weekend of the 9-day gun deer hunt in Wisconsin was slower than last year. The Department of Natural Resources says this year's opening weekend numbers were about 16% lower than last year. Wildlife officials blame mild weather. This year's season started several days earlier than last year's. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks winning streak continues. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks had no problems on the road, beating the Washington Wizards 142-129. Milwaukee, with a 5-game winning streak, head to Boston to play the Celtics 6:30 tomorrow night. Bobby Portis in the loud winning locker room says he enjoys the support of his teammates.
It's fun just to have guys that instill confidence in you on a daily basis. I think we instill confidence in one another to go out there and just hoop and just play free. Obviously, it's only 14 games in, but I like where we're at.
the Wisconsin Badgers getting ready to play the Minnesota Gophers for the Paul Bunyan Axe coming up on Saturday. That comes after the Badgers' overtime win against Nebraska. Wisconsin head coach Luke Fickell.
We celebrated. We enjoyed. There was a lot of things on Saturday night, but most importantly, that when we walked back in here on Sunday, we knew what it was about, getting the axe and making sure we understand and respect everything about this game and this rivalry.
That's the Badgers head coach, Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. 25 degrees by daybreak, a partly cloudy sky overnight, light northwest winds. That wind direction goes more to the southwest on Wednesday, 44 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Thanksgiving Day, colder, 33, and mostly sunny. Right now, it's 28.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. A lot of it made, a lot of it's being made. This is Thanksgiving week. You think everybody take a rest. Well, they're not taking a rest. A lot going on. I want to start with the gag order that Judge Tanya Chutkan imposed on Donald Trump after he continued to threaten and attack witnesses. Potentially, he'll do it with jurors, prosecutors. He appealed it. The Court of Appeals stayed the gag order while they reviewed it. Now the oral argument is done and they're about to prepare their order. And I want to go over what exactly is at issue and what I think they should do. What is always at issue in a gag order is the conflict between freedom of speech and keeping the integrity and safety of the courts. There's always a tension. Because unlike authoritarian regimes, unlike Russia, China, much of the Middle East, except for Israel, we have absolute freedom of speech, freedom of the press. And it's a very, very serious thing when it's reined in at all, when there's what's called the prior restraint. But there is a circumstance where you have to protect the integrity of our court system, the safety of witnesses, the safety of jurors, and the safety of court staff. And that was the interface that the Court of Appeals was facing. Now, a lot of the pundits after that oral argument came out and said, well, it looks like they are going to agree with a gag order, but narrow it. I don't agree with that. I don't think they have to narrow it at all, and I'll tell you why. The area of narrowing that most people are punditing about is that somehow Jack Smith, the prosecutor, will be removed from the protection of the gag order. Trump is already attacking the judge. She was not part of the gag order. It's very, very clear that under the gag order, he was permitted to continue to claim that the Justice Department was politically prosecuting him, even though that is false. He could target the president. He could target Merrick Garland. But what he can't do is target witnesses and say that, name them and say that their testimony at depositions and that in front of the grand jury, if it's leaked, is false. They're perjuring themselves. They're attacking him. He can't do that. I think that part of it will be sustained by the Court of Appeals. But the part of it that I don't agree with if they lift the protections for Jack Smith is this. You can't ignore the fact that Trump has tens of millions of followers on Truth Social, probably on X, formerly known as Twitter, other social media platforms. This is not just a random defendant who shoots his mouth off and nobody's paying any attention. When Donald Trump says and texts something or likes a text that involves violence or involves attacks on Jack Smith, that's seen by tens of millions of people, tens of millions of people. That's a lot of people. I think the New York metro area is 12 million people. Tens of millions of people is a lot of people. There is a direct correlation between Trump's threats and death threats and other kinds of conduct against the people he threatens. Fannie Willis in Atlanta said that she had gotten so many death threats after he went after her. She was called the N-word, she said, more often than she's ever heard it before. Right after Trump attacked Tanya Chutkan, a woman called, said she was going to kill her. Once he attacked, if you remember this, he attacked the media during the last campaign, this 2015 campaign, attacked them as enemies of the people, and CNN had a bomb threat. There was a judge out in the New Jersey, New York area who was tracked down by somebody, and when her son answered the door, he was shot dead. There's a judge, a good friend of mine in the Northern District of Illinois, whose husband and mother were murdered in their home by somebody who wanted to retaliate against the judge. There is a direct line of continuity between Trump's attacks. And, you know, he never says, for instance, I will kill you. Nobody ever says that. That, by the way, is a criminal offense. You don't need a gag order. He'll say that Jack Smith is a terrible person, biased. He's going to destroy the country. And tens of millions of people hear that. And there are death threats. Jack Smith had to sell his home, move his family, and Trump attacks the wife too, into a protective environment. So I got news for the Court of Appeals. Do not limit it so that he can attack Jack Smith. And the second thing you should do is, in your opinions, start to tell it like it is. He's sly and he's cunning and he attacks obliquely. Cindy of Appleton, my friend, thanks for calling. Cindy, what's in your mind today?
Well, maybe they should put a big pacifier in the man baby's mouth and maybe he'll shut up. But seriously, this man has incited an insurrection. What more do we need?
No, you're absolutely right. You know, if you're on the Court of Appeals and you take a look at his history and the direct correlations one-to-one between insulting people in a very harsh way without coming right out and saying, I want one of my people to kill you, he has tens of millions of people and they will make death threats. This is not a First Amendment issue. He's running for president. That entails responsibilities too. So yeah, he has First Amendment rights, but he does not have a First Amendment right to try to intimidate the prosecutor, judges, witnesses, or anybody else. This is not a difficult decision. Back to the lines. Andrew of Detroit, my friend. Thanks for calling. Andrew, what's in your mind today?
Hey, good afternoon, Matt. Harrison Floyd down in Georgia, who threatened those two poll workers, those two ladies, because right. He continued to threaten them after his indictment, he's now been locked up. He's now been locked up because under the conditions of his indictment and arraignment, you don't need a gag order. You just go. But the reason they're doing this with the former president is they've got to be very careful that it doesn't look ever, like they're trying to limit his freedom of speech and running for his election. Because if it ever looked like that and it gets to the Supreme Court looking like that, you know what those tarantulas will do. So I understand why they're being careful with him, but just like Harrison Floyd, they could lock him up until the trial. Thanks, Matt. Bye.
Yeah, you know, you hit the nail on the head. And here's the deal. There is a guy, a co-defendant, you just named him, of Trump, who had attacked those poll workers and kept doing it. And he right now is in the who's gal. He right now is being fed courtesy of the state of Georgia in a jail. And he's not going to be let out until his trial for the very simple reason that he is threatening people who are the victims and are witnesses. And Andrew is exactly right. In the conditions of bail, and now remember something, there's a right to bail in the Bill of Rights. It's not unlimited. Somehow sometimes that's circumvented by setting a bail so high nobody could meet it, $10 million. Well, you know, very few people can meet that. On the other hand, there are releases on their own recognizance or on the payment of a smaller sum. And, you know, Trump, by the way, is out on bail in several courts. I don't know if you knew that. He has been arrested, arraigned, and then he's released. That's out on bail, sometimes a small amount of bail. But there are also other conditions that he has to do. He has to show up in court for appointed times, and he also can't threaten witnesses and other things. So Andrew's right. You could go after him for that. And with the gag order, when he does it again, the minute that Chutkan stayed the order, he attacked Jack Smith again and Chutkan. He reinstated it, and then the Court of Appeals stayed it, and then he attacked Jack Smith again. And he attacks the wife. He always attacks a vulnerable entity. I mean, in New York, he attacks the law clerk. The law clerk, she has no right to run the case. She's not running the case. We never do that in the Democratic Party. We do not threaten Trump's wife, his children. We don't do that. It's reprehensible. But he does do it. And Andrew's exactly right. Why is Trump not being treated the same way as the guy who's in jail in Georgia? He's a non-entity. Nobody really knows him. He's in a jail cell. Trump has attacked Fannie Willis and other witnesses much worse than this guy attacked Shea Moss and Ruby Freeman. It's because the other guy is not prominent. No one knows. No one cares. And there is a potential downside. This is a tough decision. Do you legitimize Trump in the eyes of his base by putting him in jail? You can tell him to show up, and then you put him in jail. If you put him in jail for what's called criminal contempt, you have to have another trial in front of another judge over that. He'd love that. He'd love that. If you put him in jail for violating the terms of his release pending trial, that's a different story. He would lumber down the hall, and a lot of the Trump MAGA base would go nuts. Do you inadvertently get him more votes by putting him in jail? Or do you find him and he blows it off? The usual amounts, 10, 20 grand. Do you find him $5 million? Do you find him $50 million? This judge and this Court of Appeals has a great deal to take into account. Well, coming up, a secret meeting between Mike Johnson and Donald Trump. What was that all about?
Night rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons. Some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are. But we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Third, he voted against certifying Joe Biden as president. He voted against accepting the duly appointed electoral votes from each of the states. In turn, Trump endorsed Michael Johnson for speaker. Remember that Tom Emmer of Minnesota was the guy who won the initial vote in the caucus? Trump called him a, quote, globalist rhino, a globalist rhino, and endorsed Mike Johnson. Now, Tom Emmer got the most votes in the Republican caucus, more than half of them. So under the Hastert rule, they should have put his name out there. He would have gotten 130, 50 Republican votes, and he would have gotten enough Democratic votes to put him over. But the Republicans have passed a Trump rule that trumps the Hastert rule, no pun intended. And they wouldn't put anybody on there unless he had a majority of the House of Representatives, which means 218 votes out of 221 Republican votes. That means that any four Republicans could sink him. And that's what they did with Tom Emmer. And then we ended up with Michael Johnson. Now, what's behind this? When you have a guy like Trump, who's leading in the Republican polls, only because look how pathetic their field is. You think Vivek Ramaswamy has a shot? I'd like to think that Chris Christie did, as much as I disagree with him. At least he's sane, but he's at a couple of percent in the polls. DeSantis is a strange ranger, okay? That's all I can say about DeSantis. You do not want him as president. Nikki Haley, everybody goes, oh, Nikki Haley, Nikki Haley. She doesn't have a snowball chance in you know where. I don't want her as president. I don't want Trump as president. There's nobody in the Republican Party who's a strong leader. And if you think Trump is strong, I'm not talking about insanity, fraud, vengeance, and destruction of our democracy is strong. That is not strong. I think what went on is they are already planning a shadow government the way they do in England. When, say, the Conservatives are in, there's a liberal, there's a Labour shadow government. In other words, there's a shadow prime minister, shadow defense minister, and so on. And if they win, then they just go in those positions. That's what the Republican Party is doing now. They decided that Trump will be their nominee. And what they are going to do is take direction from him. And that's just what they did. Mike Johnson is going to take direction from Trump and what he does on another continuing resolution, on foreign policy appropriations. And he is gone to the shadow president as the actual speaker, unfortunately. There should be a lot more investigative reporting on what went on in that meeting. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend, thanks for calling. Bill, what's in your mind today?
I got to ask you, what do you think is the breakdown in this country with the failure to let this guy stay on the loose and not have him temporarily incarcerated while this goes on. In other countries, I don't know if this should go on. Now, you just mentioned a little while ago that they just want to walk this tightrope real carefully so his constitutional rights are not, destroyed. My point is, he has crossed the line so many times. What person other than the crazies would be upset if he was incarcerated today? What is preventing this? Is this a breakdown of our moral fiber? Is this what do you think? What do you think is the real point to the one that is the biggest problem here?
I think the judges are getting death threats, and I think that the judges are bending over backwards because this is very new territory. We've never had a president of the United States, a former president, running again who's a criminal, indicted 91 times. We just have never had it. And I think that's number one. Number two, and here's a very, very sad thing, and I don't predict it and want it, but what happens if one of these prosecutors or judges or a family member is killed? At that point, these judges may put him in jail. But you must understand something. Trump would not care if somebody were killed, because the day of the insurrection, he kept watching TV, and then he would rewind some of the violent scenes. He is a stone sociopath. Tom of West Allis, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Tom?
Afternoon. Frightening thought. What would happen if Trump got elected and then ended up going to prison and he made Mike Johnson his running mate?
You know something? That believe this or not, that is something that occurred to me, but you're the first guy to announce it, and so I am going to give you the honor. Tom of West Allis, I think it's not beyond the possibility that Trump picks Mike Johnson as his VP. Not beyond the possibility. He's already said that none of the current presidential candidates will be his VP. So who else is he going to pick? Johnson's a fresh face, very right wing. He would please a lot of the MAGA sorts. And the problem is, it's not so much can Trump, can he govern out of jail? There was a mayor of Boston named Curley 100 years ago who was indicted and sent to jail and still ran Boston from prison, believe it or not. He technically could do that. I'm much more concerned as he picks Mike Johnson as VP and then his Trump's heroic arteries drown in an ocean of fat and he has a heart attack. And Mike Johnson is the president of the United States. And I don't even know the guy. I don't even know the guy. I don't know his checking account. I don't know where his congressional salary is being directly deposited. Why haven't the media figured that out? I don't know. I know what he says he believes, but he's a man of mystery. I do not want a man of mystery a president, but you heard it from Tom of West Allis. It's possible that Trump will pick him as VP. God forbid. I'll tell you what, coming up, I see you in the lines, by the way. Do not hang up. I got you. I'm getting to you ASAP. Coming up, lots of news, lots of weather. And
this is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Special Report. Israel has agreed to a four-day ceasefire deal for the release of some of the hostages held by Hamas. BBC correspondent Orla Girin is in Tel Aviv.
The numbers that are being discussed are 50. Now, we have been told by Israeli officials that if the initial agreement works, and that would involve a truce of 4 days during which these 50 hostages would be released, if that works, possibly the truce could be extended for another 3 days to allow for the release of a further 30 hostages.
The Palestinian Authority's foreign minister responding to the deal.
I think this is really very important. It really opens up a huge opportunity for further exchange of detainees and prisoners.
Officials say the agreement could be implemented by early Thursday morning, local time. CBS News Special Report. I'm Stacy Lynn.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court heard arguments Tuesday in a lawsuit challenging the state's legislative maps. Marquette University's John Johnson says the court will decide if so-called islands outside district borders are constitutional.
So they proposed a map that kept municipalities in a single district, even when the municipality was composed of pieces that didn't all touch each other.
Johnson spoke with the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. Conservation groups are asking Governor Evers to block a proposed land exchange to build a new private golf course along Lake Michigan. Under the plan, the state would trade around 7 acres of the Black River Forest for about 9 acres of Kohler Company property. The groups say that the deal would set a bad precedent for public land use. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. 25 degrees by daybreak, a partly cloudy sky overnight, light northwest winds. That wind direction goes more to the southwest on Wednesday, 44 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Thanksgiving Day, colder, 33, and mostly sunny. Right now, it's 28.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 40. Northwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy tonight, 29. Tomorrow, high of 42. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Welcome back to Matchpoint Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We'll go right to the lines. Bob Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. Bob, what's in your mind today?
Well, working at home, the pandemic sort of started the spree of working at home. And people, I think a lot of Biden's problem in the polls and so forth is just right track, wrong track, before pandemic, after pandemic, and before pandemic, you know, the golden age of Trump, oh boy, you get all that malarkey, and then you get, you know, all this interpretation. But working at home is discouraged by employers, but desired by a lot of people. So there's a disconnect there, and that might be upsetting. It might be a factor upsetting people overall that transfers on to the presidency and stuff like that, because we just blame everything on the president anyhow. And so a lot of people would like to save gas, money, improve the environment and the climate and everything, and get a more comfortable work style are being stopped by the bosses. And I think, you know, somebody ought to give them a help or a right or something like that, to maybe a day or two at home per week or something like that, depending on what kind of worker they are. If they're office workers, that should be a piece of cake. What do you think?
Yeah, no, it's a good point you're making. In other words, the pandemic and then the isolation over a couple of year period has really affected society. First of all, it's affected it in education. It's obvious that students suffered, that their performance suffered. You know, it's asking grade school kids to attend classes on Zoom. They're sort of fidgeting around. If they had parents who were home and really could supervise them, fine, but a lot of them didn't. It cost us a couple of years education. As far as working, there's a disconnect. Obviously, some manufacturing, the workers can't do it at home. You know, in restaurants, they can't do it at home. In offices, they can. And in a lot of cases, you know, there have been firms that have said, look, you got to come in at least 3 days a week, and people don't. And then they have to decide to fire them or not, blah, blah, blah. How that affects people's politics is a much deeper question. I don't know the answer to that, but I will tell you, when we talk about Biden in polls, take a look at any president against any contender. So when Obama was running at this time, the last time when he ran for re-election, he was predicted by the major papers to lose by 8%, the ultimate Republican nominee, and then 8% to Mitt Romney, who was the nominee. And he won. Harry Truman was always low in the polls. And for a very simple reason, think about this. Most people don't remember yesterday. So Trump was there. He's a controversial guy. They do not remember everything about his presidency. All they know is that he has name recognition, much more name recognition than any other Republican, but not more than Joe Biden. Joe Biden has the same or even better name recognition, but he's the president. Anytime anyone is the president, there are some very difficult, bad things going on. You had that sadistic, genocidal attack by Hamas against Israeli citizens. Israel's response. You have Ukraine, really a European country, very, very talented country, great culture, invaded by genocidal sadists, Vladimir Putin and the Russians. This is unpleasant. You have China rattling the sword, the South China Sea, trying to take over a vast, vast, really ocean, big part of the Pacific Ocean. We have the best possible president, the most experienced president with the most wisdom to handle all of those challenges. And domestically, he's tamed inflation. He did a better job than any other country in the world. Inflation right now is effectively tamed. And it was a worldwide contagion. It wasn't just the United States. It wasn't largely the United States. It was a lot of things. The pandemic, supply interruptions, Ukraine, a lot of other things. he has done a superb job in employment. In his administration, his administration has created, he didn't do it. No president does it or does not create a job, but presidents set the tone for job creation. More than 12 million jobs have been created under Joe Biden. Under Donald Trump, it was 10% of that, maybe a little more. Under Bush and George H.W. Bush, it was a fraction of that. This is a hard fact. I'll just tell it to you. It is a fact. The economy does better, by and large, under Democratic presidents than under Republican presidents. Why is that? Do Democratic presidents create jobs? No, not personally. Neither do Republican presidents. But Democratic presidents typically preside over economic incentives, I mean, economic policies that are good for the economy. And Republican presidents tend to preside over policies that just pay lip service to slogans from the past that turn out to impede economic development, impede growth. So when you say in the polls, you have two people of high name recognition, Biden and Trump, one of them is the president. So everything that's going bad in the world is somehow attached to him, even though he has responded to it with experience and wisdom in the interests of the United States, and nothing attaches to Trump because he has no responsibility. He has no responsibility. In fact, I'm surprised the polls are as close as they are. They were a lot wider apart to Obama's disfavor, to Harry Truman's disfavor, and a lot of other ones. And that is because people gag when they hear the name of Trump. The guy is right now indicted on 91 felonies. And there is a great headline, which was Nazi curious madman under indictment for 91 felonies gives speech. You could run that as a headline for any one of Trump's rallies. So, Bob, thanks for the call. I do not know how the pandemic plays into political preferences now, but what I do know is that what we're seeing is very, very, could easily be anticipated. Biden will beat Trump. He'll beat him handily. Nobody wants to turn this over to a madman. But now I want to get to something that I alluded to leading into this. Everybody knows that Clarence Thomas stuck a knife in the Voting Rights Act in the Shelby County case 15 years ago. This is an act that was passed in the 1960s by Congress that basically said that any change in election or voting laws in a certain number of states have to be approved in advance by the Justice Department. The Supreme Court justices said, we don't need that anymore. Who are they? They're not Congress. Congress decides whether you need something anymore. But that's what happened. And as a result, we have gerrymanders. We have all these impediments, criminal prosecutions for voting in Texas, in Georgia, and Florida. But there was a section of the Voting Rights Act, Section 2, that was still left alive. And just now, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals, three judges, two of them, two to one, the decision was. One was a Trump-appointed judge, the other a George W. Bush-appointed judge. The minority that did the right thing, the one, was also a George W. Bush judge. So two to one, here's what they said. They said, from now on, only the United States government can bring an action under Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, which bars racial discrimination in voting. And what it will do is only the attorney general or a state attorney general can bring an action for violation of Section 2, which with racial discrimination also involves challenges to ballot access, voting rules, and redistricting. But the vast majority of those cases forever have been filed by private parties. It's called a private right of action. The ACLU, watchdog groups, people, African-American congregations that have been discriminated against. And the case, by the way, that struck down Alabama's racial gerrymandering was brought by a private entity, not by the listen, crooked William Barr wasn't going to bring it under Trump. You think the Attorney General of Alabama is going to bring it? No way. No way. So this Trump trial judge in 2022 said that, hey, I have an idea. There's no private right of action. Even though the U.S. Supreme Court has decided many of them already that were private rights of action. In other words, private right of action is just a fancy word for saying that a citizen or a group can bring it. So the Eighth Circuit says, no, we're going to put a stop to that. We're going to put a stop to that. The ACLU issued a statement and said, quote, this decision is a travesty for democracy. And here's what they mean. If it's upheld, it will go to the U.S. Supreme Court. What will the tarantulas do? Six tarantulas. I think five of them, led by Clarence Thomas, who's been bribed, will do what they did in Shelby County. They'll say, we affirm it. Even though most, virtually all of the cases for decades have been brought by private parties, not by attorneys general. If you leave it to attorneys general, it depends who's president, and it depends on the state. All of the states that discriminate against African-American voters in their voting regulations are Republican red states whose attorney general approves of what's going on. He's not going to bring an action. Are you kidding me? Merrick Garland will bring an action, but how many actions is he supposed to bring in all 50 states? But crooked William Barr would not have brought that action. And when a Republican is back in, they won't bring the action. So what they're saying is, yeah, the Attorney General of New York and California can bring it for his own state. Well, they don't discriminate. They do not have any impediment to minority voting. They encourage minority voting. They encourage everybody's voting. This is a sneaky, bold, and brazen final nail in the coffin of the Voting Rights Act, the remnants of the Voting Rights Act that survived Shelby County, survived the tarantulas and the bribed justices, the Russian justices is really what they are. Those decisions are decided in advance, not in public. Not in public. And now the one remaining one, which is trying to get rid of racial discrimination in voting. Racial discrimination, access to polls, racial gerrymandering, not just regular racial gerrymandering. Laws that figure out ways to bar people in minority areas. The only time there is ever relief under Section 2 has been when a voting rights group, which is a private group with a couple of private citizens as the named plaintiffs, or the ACLU, or the NAACP, Legal Defense Fund, brings it, and they bring the facts out.
93.5 The Tap.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matchman Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, how bad do you think Crooked William Barr was? How bad do you think Lying Mike Pompeo was? How bad do you think some of those cabinet members were last time Donald Trump was president? Well, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm going to talk about somebody on Trump's short list for attorney general if he wins this coming November. By the way, rest easy, he's not going to win. We have Joe Biden. I'm riding with Biden, one of the best presidents we've ever had, quite frankly, and certainly the best president of any president to serve right now based on his wisdom and experience. But there's a man named Michael Davis, and I had never heard the name before. But Trump likes him quite a bit. Trump likes him so much, he has him on his short list to be appointed attorney general if he wins the presidential election. And here's what Michael Davis just said recently. Just listen to this. Quote, "I will unleash hell on Washington, D.C., getting rid of the career politicians, including President Joe Biden, and every scumball, sleazeball Biden. I will help to pardon the January 6th rioters. We're going to deport a lot of people, 10 million and growing, anchor babies, their parents, and also their grandparents. We're going to put kids in cages. It's going to be glorious. We're going to detain a lot of people in the D.C. gulag and in Gitmo," end quote. Now, there was a guy who was the head of the Soviet secret police named Laurentin Beria under Stalin in the 1940s. He was a sadist, a murderer, and he sent people to the real gulag. He killed people. He did whatever he wanted. But he didn't say explicitly what he was going to do. Now, one of the things that bothered me more than anything else about Trump and even his running again is he's not even making any bones about what he's going to do. He's not even hiding anything. He says he's going to get rid of some of the Constitution and jail his enemies. But this Michael Davis is on his short list for attorney general. And you may say, Matt, look, now that this has come out, how can he be confirmed in the Senate? It only Mitch McConnell changed the rules back when they controlled the Senate. And for cabinet appointments and Supreme Court justices, it only takes a simple majority. There can be no filibuster. And if you think that 51 Republicans wouldn't vote for this guy, you're sadly mistaken. It's possible that they would. And I'm going to repeat again what he said. I have never heard such a shocking and candid exposition of what an authoritarian would do, ever. Laurentin Beria didn't say this. Quote, "I will unleash hell on Washington, D.C., getting rid of career politicians, including President Joe Biden, and every scumball sleazebag Biden. I will help pardon the January 6th rioters. We're going to deport a lot of people, 10 million and growing, anchor babies, their parents, their grandparents. We're going to put kids in cages. It's going to be glorious. We're going to detain a lot of people in the gulag, in the D.C. gulag, and in Gitmo." Well, I don't know how more explicit you can be. Most people deny that they put kids in cages. Most people hide it. But most people don't boast about it. Most people don't say they're going to get rid of people's grandparents. This guy is bad news. This guy is dangerous. And Trump is dangerous. Go to the lines. Tom McFarland, my friend. Thanks for calling. Tom, what's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. You know, just to build on that, it's important to remember that Trump in and of himself is not dangerous. If he had a Congress that believed in the Constitution, heck, if we had an electorate that believed in the Constitution, this guy wouldn't be able to be elected a dog catcher. But we have to remember that, according to a recent poll, anywhere between 40 and 50% of Republicans think that it is perfectly acceptable. History where that needs to happen, where we need to toss out the Constitution in order to enact an agenda. So that's where the true danger comes in. And I think Republicans, it's going to be a reckoning at some point, not just within Trump and his followers, but just the Republican Party as a whole. And I think you're right on the money when you're stressing that this is not about a Republican Democrat. This is about freedom versus fascism. That's the only way to sum that up. If you are for the Constitution, you vote for Biden. If you are in favor of despotism, you vote for Trump. That's the only way you can frame it. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a very good way of putting it. You got to use the word. It is fascism. This is a fascist statement. It's a fascist statement. Going to put their enemies in the gulag and in Gitmo. And let me just say this. And this is an important thing to think about. When Trump first got in, you know, he had John Kelly eventually as chief of staff. He had Mattis as defense secretary. And he had a couple of other people that, you know, you may not agree with them on everything, but they were honest and they believed in the Constitution. One by one, they quit. Now, what happens if he gets in again? And this time he doesn't put in the people that he put in, but he puts in this Michael Davis or Jeffrey Clark as the attorney general. They'll overturn any election. They'll just announce their irregularities and impound the voting machines. And to get in front of the tarantulas and sort that out is not the easiest thing in the world. Well, what's coming up? A lot of news and weather, but also oral argument in the Wisconsin Supreme Court on the gerrymander and some surprising things that were said by some of the justices and some of the surprising issues that they face.
Home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WA on air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com, and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Simple act of sharing gratitude is how Thanksgiving is described in the dictionary. But did you know the first official national holiday happened in 1789? It was declared by President George Washington following the creation of the new U.S. Constitution. Today, Thanksgiving means gratefulness for the harvest, your family, or a higher power. However you celebrate, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn. Israel agrees to a deal. There will be a pause in fighting with Hamas that includes a release of 50 hostages over a four-day period.
The Israeli government approved it. Hamas then welcomed it. The first hostage exchange of the month-and-a-half-old latest Mideast war, coupled with a short timeout in the fighting and the Israeli attacks that have followed the October 7th Hamas attack.
There's going to be a pause in fighting when these 50 hostages are released and 150 Palestinian prisoners. But this pause in fighting could actually be extended if Hamas agrees to release more prisoners.
CBS's Robert Berger in Jerusalem. U.S. officials expect at least three Americans to be among those released. They say the first group could number more than 50. In addition to that, correspondent Margaret Brennan says
Israel would allow 300 trucks per day to go into Gaza, including